1 Corinthians 15. And if you don't have a Bible, please feel free to grab a Bible, which are under the chairs. And each week we invite people to use those that need a Bible. Grab one. It's under the chairs, all scattered around. And at the top of your handout, we do this every week. We give you a message handout. And at the top is the Church Bible page number. It's page number 1197. So that way each week you know right where to turn in your Bible. Page 1197. And I want everybody to look at this, 1 Corinthians 15. And so 1 Corinthians 15. And let's look at verse 20. And I want us to read it together. So 1 Corinthians 15, 20. All right, let's all read the first part of that verse together. Will you read it with me? It starts out, but now. Verse number 20, say it with me. But now is Christ risen from the dead. One more time. But now is Christ risen from the dead. And, you know, the guy that said that is a guy that should have known because he actually saw Jesus resurrected. He talked to him, had a conversation with him. And the Apostle Paul emphatically says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. If you look at the next verse, verse 21, he goes on to say, for since by man came death, by man, that's Jesus, came also the resurrection of the dead. So because of Christ's resurrection, you've heard the expression, he's the man. Well, Jesus is the man when it comes to overcoming death and finding life. Because Jesus resurrected from the dead, he is the man. He's the only place you can go to find life. Now, if you look at the next verse, look at verse 22. It says, for as in Adam all die, it says there, so in Christ shall all be, what's the last two words? Made alive. So what that tells me is, if I'm in Christ, I got life, eternal life. If I'm not in Christ, then I have no hope of life, no hope of eternal life. Well, that matches what the Bible says in other places. For example, look at the top of your handout that we gave you. Look at the top of that piece of paper and notice 1 John 5:12. What does that say? It says, he that has the Son, that's Jesus, if you have the Son, if you've got Jesus, what do you have? Good, good. And he says, he that has not the Son of God, if you don't have Jesus, he says what? You don't have life, right? You don't have life. It's that simple. And so if you look up here, you notice we read, in Adam all die, in Christ people are made alive, right? So in Adam, if I'm in Adam, and we're going to talk about what that means in a minute, but it, just for right now, lock this away. If I'm in Adam, that's my identity. I have death to look forward to. In Adam, I'll die. But if I'm in Christ, then I have a different future to look forward to. So there's two places, two possible places to be, in Christ or in Adam, and there are two possible outcomes, results, and that is death or life. All of humanity can be divided into those two groups. You're either in the family of Adam. That is, that's how God sees you. That's your identity in your inner soul. Now, look, outwardly, I have an identity. We hear about identity theft and all that. And so outwardly, I'm Dan Proctor, and I'm part of the Proctor family. Well, when God looks at my heart, my soul, what does he see? Does he see that I'm in the family of Adam, or does he see that I'm in the family of Jesus Christ? That's my identity at my root, spirit, soul level. I am in the family of Jesus Christ. You say, man, I don't even know what that means. What are you talking about, man? In Adam, in Christ, I don't even get that. Well, by the end of this message, you will. Okay? If you're not sleeping, all right, by the end of the message, you're going to know what it means to be in the family of Adam and what it means to be in the family of Jesus Christ. It's not hard, very simple, but you're going to have to listen and pay attention because it's really, really important. And the key to this thing is the resurrection, as we're going to see here, all right? So let's begin with number one, all right? You ready? Write this in. You ready? Here it is. Being in the family of Adam means death. In Adam, all die. We read that. So I want you to lock that away in your thoughts, in your mind. I want you to get that. I'm going to test you. You ready? Being in the family of Adam means what? Are y'all sure you didn't know that because it was right there on the screen? All right, being in the family of Adam means death. Now, let me explain that. All right, you ready? Here's the explanation. Adam was the first man ever created. The Bible says he was made out of the dust of the ground. Well, we know that's true, right? Because our bodies return to dust once we die. Look, here's the key. Dust doesn't talk. So when God made him and formed Adam, the Bible says he put into him the breath of life and man became a living soul. So now there's a soul inside that body of dust. And that's how he was now, because God put a soul in Adam, now he's made in the image of God. Now he can think. Now he can act. Now he can reason. Now he can make choices. Now he can make decisions. Well, Adam had a choice to make. He made it. He basically sided with the devil against God. He went against God. He sinned and he disobeyed God. He basically set himself up and aligned himself against God. And he said, I like the devil's plan better. Well, when he did that, there were consequences to that. And here was the consequence, guys. God cannot fellowship with sin or embrace sin at any level. He simply cannot. He's holy, he's just, he's righteous, and he cannot embrace sin. Now look, even though we are humans and all of us in here are sinners and all of us in here are you know, extremely imperfect, I think at some level, we can understand the principle of not being able to embrace sin. I think we can get that. For example, if I came home one day to the house and I said to my wife, Denise, who's sitting back there in the back, if I said, Denise, I want to stay married to you. And she's like, well, that's good news after 30 years of marriage. Thanks a lot. And I say, but, okay, I want to stay married to you, but there's this other woman that I also want to be with half the time. And I want you to know I'm still going to be with you half the time. And I am still going to be married to you. And so I just want you to just be okay with that. And be close to me. And embrace me. And just accept me. Those of you who know my little 5-foot fireball wife would know she would not embrace me in that. In fact, I would have a permanent tattoo on my forehead of a frying pan right there. And as much as Denise loves me, listen, as much as she loves me, she could not embrace me in that kind of behavior. And just like Denise would hate that sin in my life, and it would just crush her, and it would just create a barrier between me and her. In the same way, only at a much deeper level, God hates sin. God cannot embrace any sin, not just that sin that I mentioned, any sin. God is holy, and God cannot embrace sin. It creates a barrier between us and God, just as that would create a barrier between us. Our sin creates a barrier between us and a holy God. And so think about this. If God is life, all right? If God is life, and if God cannot embrace and fellowship with sin, well, then it stands to reason the only possible wages of sin is death. And that's what happened. You see, the relationship was broken between Adam and God. Now look, we all understand broken relationships, don't we? That's something we all get. Because somewhere along the line, at some level, all of us have experienced the pain of a broken relationship. And so when Adam went against God, that relationship with God was broken. Not because of God's fault, but it was because of Adam's behavior, his choices, the decisions he made. Now all of a sudden, there's this barrier between him and God. And basically what that meant was spiritual death for Adam. That is, he was now alienated from the life of God. His spirit could no longer fellowship with God's spirit because of that sin issue. And so now he's separated. He's cut off. He's alienated from the life of God. Well, not only that, his cut off position from God would also mean that his body, his physical body, would now become a body of death. Now his body would begin a deterioration process. His body would begin to die. A death process would begin, which all of us know about, and that death process would eventually lead to Adam's physical body dying. So there was a spiritual death and a physical death that occurred with Adam that day. Yes, his physical body began to die, but he died in that relationship with God. He no longer could commune with God. And so Adam is the head of the human race. He's the representative head. Adam could only give to his posterity what he had, and that was sin and death and alienation from God. He could only give his posterity what he had, and it wasn't good. In fact, if you look in your handout, look at 1 John 5:12 in your handout. And this Romans 5:12. If you look on down there, to me, this kind of sums it up, I think, really well. Romans 5:12 in your handout. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world." That's Adam. And notice the result, death by sin. We just talked about that. And so death passed upon all men. Okay, hold on. Then there's repercussions. We're all in this now. Why? It says death passed upon all men for that how many have sinned? All have sinned. How many of you have sinned? I was looking for a hand, actually. I was looking for some admission, all right? We've all sinned, so we're kind of all in the same boat, right? And we are in Adam's family very naturally. All those in Adam's family die, remember? All of Adam's descendants die. Death reigns in Adam's family. To be an Adam, if that's your identity, that means to be in death. And when a person dies physically, that's the first death. We know about that. But what happens to your soul? Now look, we don't always want to think about that, but you need to think about that now. That you need to think about that before you die. And what happens to your soul when you die? Because you remember, he was made out of the dust of the ground. Our bodies are dust. You don't believe that? Go to the cemetery. Okay? Bodies return to dust. That's exactly what happened. Exactly what God said is true. You can accelerate that with cremation, but if you don't cremate, that body's going to go back to dust anyway. That's what these bodies are. They're bodies of dust. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you had a conversation with a pile of dust? When's the last time you picked up a pile of dust and then said, "Hello, how are you today?" And the dust said back, "I'm doing good. How are you?" Now, if that ever happened to you, we're going to get you help, all right? And we're going to get you a doctor. You'll be all right, okay? Dust does not think, it does not talk, and it does not act. And so the only reason why your body can talk, think, or act is because the soul inside of you is what is animating your body. If your soul wasn't there, your body would be dead. It would return to dust. And so all of us have a soul. God created Adam, and Adam became a living soul. Well, what happens to the soul when your body dies? The Bible teaches that if you don't have the life of God inside of you, that there is a second death. That's the death of your soul. That's the separate. In fact, in your handout, I believe I have that statement there. I want you to write that in if we could bring it up on the screen. It says that the second death is the soul separation from God. That's when your soul is separated from God. See? Now all this doesn't sound too good so far, but I promise it's going to get better. Okay? I promise it's going to get a lot better. All right? We're going to get to the good. I got to give you the bad news before we get to the good news. But I want to be honest with you here. Okay? A person's only hope is somehow we got to get out of Adam's family. We got to get out of that family. Because y'all remember what we said? Being in Adam's family means what? Death. So we've got to get out of that family. How many of y'all remember the show, The Addams Family? Remember that? Remember them? And isn't it kind of ironic that they were called the Addams Family? It was really kind of a symbolic, tongue-in-cheek way of playing off the Bible principle that in Adam all die. They wore black, they were creepy, they had cemeteries in their yard, you know. And it was playing off that idea, in Adam all die. I have an admission to make. I don't know that I've ever told you all this. I'm half Adams. So what are you talking about? My mother was an Adams. My mother was an Adams. So I'm half Adams, and I was born on Halloween. Some of you are connecting the dots, and now you know why Pastor Dan's so weird and so kooky. He's mysterious and spooky and altogether ooky, right? Now you know why. Do you remember that? He's creepy and he's kooky. We were watching family videos last night, and I did something off the wall, and it was way before Clayton was even born. And Clayton looked at the video, the one that was on the keyboard here. Believe it or not, he said this. He looked at it, and he looked at me acting silly, and he went, "Man, that's weird." Now you know why, right? I'm half Adam. Hey, I'm an Adams. I was born on Halloween, and yet I'm a preacher of Jesus Christ. God can redeem all things. Amen? Amen. Woo! So if you stay in Adam's family, death is the result. In Adam, all die. You're going to incur death. Death of your body, death of your eternal soul. Let's go to the second thing. This is the good. Hey, y'all ready for the good news, huh? Hey, listen, none of that's too good. We're in the family of Adam, and Adam's family means death. None of that sounds good, but let me let you know today that Jesus is the game changer, guys. Jesus Christ has made it possible for us to leave the family of Adam and be in the family of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want you to get. Number two is being in the family of Christ means life. Being in the family of Christ means life. You see, in order to have an answer for death, a man or a person had to overcome death and beat it, had to beat it down. And again, you can't give or pass on what you don't have. Adam possessed death, he passed it on. So in order to reverse that, somebody would have to beat death, possess life, so that they could pass that on. And that's why Jesus Christ took on him the nature of man. That's why Jesus became a man. If you've got your handout, turn it to the back side of your handout and notice there at the top, the verse we read earlier, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." You do not have to look any further than Genesis 5, five chapters into your Bible, to learn that by man came death. You know why? Because Genesis 5 says the generations of Adam. And it lists his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, great-great-great-grandchildren, and on down the line. And as you read Genesis 5, five chapters in the Bible, at the end of every single one of Adam's descendants, it says, "And he died, and she died, and he died, and she died." You see, by man came death. But the Bible says by man came the resurrection from the dead. Jesus became a man. And so when we are in union with Jesus Christ, when we are in the family of Jesus Christ, it brings life. In Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. So that tells me which family I want to be in, right? In your handout it says to be in Adam is to be in death. To be in Christ is to be in life. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches. Look with me in your handout. Take your handout and look at John 1:4. It says that in Christ, say it with me, in Christ was what? Life. And the life was the light of men, of us. Look at the next verse. Jesus said unto her, oh man, "I am," Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the what? Life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he," say it with me, "live." Look at the next verse. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth," and Jesus said, "I am the what? Life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." Christ, the Bible says, had life in himself. By the way, that's why Jesus Christ said, "No man takes my life from me, I lay it down of myself." You see, death had no claim over Jesus because Jesus did not sin like we do. Death had no right, had no claim on Jesus. Jesus said, "No one can take my life from me. I lay it down of myself." And had he not done that, there'd been no way. He lays it down. Well, once he lays down his life in death, there is no way, the Bible, it was impossible for death to hold Jesus in that grave. And the reason why it was impossible is because he is the resurrection and the life. So how does death hold down the resurrection and the life? Impossible. So in Adam all die, both physically and spiritually. And what Jesus did is he went to the cross And when he went to that cross, he died both of those deaths for us. He died your first death that you would have to die and your second. So what are you talking about? When he was on the cross, the Bible says he said, "It is finished." He hung his head, he gave up the ghost, and he died physically. We get that. But what we fail to understand and realize is that he also died your second death for you. He paid the penalty for you. So what do you mean? The Bible says this, that when Jesus hung on the cross, listen, his soul was made an offering for sin. He did not just die physically. His soul, his inner man, was separated from God the Father. And as he hung on that cross, he absorbed the full wrath of God of our sin that we would have had to have incurred. The Bible says he became sin for us who knew no sin. The Bible says that as he hung on that cross, that his soul was made an offering for sin. He took the spiritual death, the spiritual separation, the wrath of God that we would have had to have incurred. He took it for us on the cross. And he did that so that we could be taken out of the family of Adam and put over here in the family of Jesus Christ and be part of his family. And listen, when you're placed in Christ, and I'm going to talk about how you get placed in Christ in just a moment, so stay with me. I'm just going to say this. When you are taken out of the family of Adam and God puts you in Christ, his death payment becomes yours. Your debt is canceled. Your sin debt is paid. That is put on your account. And not only that, when he takes you out of Adam and he puts you in Christ, now not only does his death become yours, his life becomes yours. You are now in his family. You get life. You get his life. He passes on to you what he's got. His history becomes your history. You are in Christ. You say, wait a minute, but don't believers die too? I know people who are Christians that died. You're trying to tell me they don't die? Well, listen to this. Look up at the screen. Look at this verse. Jesus said, whoever lives and believes in me shall what? So what do you mean? When a believer dies, it looks like they're dying like everybody else to our naked eye. It just looks like they're dying like everyone else dies. But we know from the scriptures that that's not the case. We know that when a believer dies, that their soul leaves their body, but is instantly living somewhere else in the presence of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that we are absent from the body. Your soul is absent from your body, and that's why your body is left lifeless. Your soul leaves your body. There's nothing to animate it. Remember, it's dust. And so your soul leaves your body, and the Bible says that it continues to live somewhere else, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, you get into Adam's family very naturally. Basically, it happens when you're born. That's why we all sin. We're in Adam's family. Your parents kind of passed that on to you, and you passed it on to your kids. It's a generational thing. All of us get into Adam's family very naturally, but you get into Christ's family supernaturally. And in your handout, it says, it's the work of God that happens in response to your faith in Jesus Christ. This is where the rubber meets the road, right here. If you look at your handout, I want you to look at a great verse, okay? Look at it with me, Galatians 3:26. It says, for you are all the children of God, how? By faith in Christ Jesus. Did you notice we're children of God? We're in a different family now. We're in a different family. We're now children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. You get into Adam's family by default. It just kind of happens because you're born. You get into Adam's family by default. You get into Christ's family by decision. By decision. And you can literally write the end of your story. Listen to me. Everyone in here, right now you have an opportunity. If you've got a pulse, and I certainly hope everyone in here has a pulse, all right? If you got a pulse right now, you have an opportunity to write the end of your story. You have an opportunity to decide whether at the end of your existence here on this earth, death just takes over and reigns over you and your soul is separated from God, or whether at the end of your existence here on this earth, your life down here just keeps on going somewhere else, just in a different place. You can write the end of your story because of what Jesus has done for you. And I want to just take a break for a second, and I'm at the very end, but I want you to watch this quick video, which is going to summarize what we've learned, all right? So please watch this video very closely. Aren't you glad we have that opportunity? Amen. And you have that opportunity, all right? Because he rose from the dead, he now offers you life. And here's the deal. As God looks down from heaven, we see clearly in this passage, there's two families. And as God looks down from heaven, he's looking down, and the question that God is asking in regards to you and your eternal life, he's not asking what denomination are you, what church do you go to. No, he simply wants to know one thing: which family are you in? Are you in Adam's family, or are you in my son, Jesus Christ's family? And you can join the church, and you can come to church, and you can get involved at church, and you can talk and act and look like a Christian and fake it all the while, but one day we're all going to have to stand before the Lord. And Jesus said that when we stand before him, there's going to be people that are going to say, hey, I've prophesied in your name. Haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? And he will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. You see, family know each other. Family know each other. And on that day when you stand before the Lord, the issue is going to be, does he know you? Are you family? Which family are you in? You have an opportunity, because of what Jesus has done for you, to get out of the family of Adam and get in his family. But God isn't going to force you. In your handout, it says God will not force you to become part of his family. But he extends the invitation. And he says, all I ask is that you put your faith in my son, Jesus Christ. Love him, embrace him. And when you embrace Jesus Christ, God welcomes you into his family. And it's the resurrection that makes it possible for you to get out of the family of Adam and into the family of Jesus Christ. He beat death, he overcame it, and now he offers you life. He offers you life. He's like, hey, you want to be in my family? And it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, doesn't matter the baggage you carry, doesn't matter the sins you've committed, God will welcome you into his family if you will come to him through your faith in Jesus Christ. He'll give you his life. Which family are you in?